Want to spend more time in the great outdoors? Join our family as we share insights, suggestions, and highlights of our adventures. It's time now for Glampin' and River Roamin' with the Tilleries.
All right, River Roamers, we are reporting back after an Everglades adventure during our spring break.
During Easter weekend?
Yeah, that ended up being simultaneous. Easter is such a interesting holiday because it can be late March, early April, mid to late April. It's just so all over the board. But this year it aligned with our spring break.
And it was our biggest haul of rivers ever. We hit 8 rivers that weekend, and it was Anna and I's 10th anniversary, marriage anniversary, which landed on Easter Sunday.
It was quite the weekend.
It was.
And
lots to talk about.
Yeah. So we ended up being able to do a short work week, and it was about a 3.5-hour drive, but an easy drive, all back roads.
Yeah. Right? I love going down this way because you do not have to get on an interstate. You don't have to go above 65 miles an hour because the speed limit, and it's just the most pleasant drive to go to that part of Florida.
Most certainly. So we took our time, and I noticed the further southwest we were going, the far more windier it was. It wasn't as windy when we left our home in the Treasure Coast region of Florida. When we arrived in Chokoloskee Island, which, friends, is the furthest southwest in the state of Florida where civilization exists.
Like, after that, there are no people.
It is the National Park of the Everglades, and into that depths, there are no inhabitants. Lots of wildlife. Though there were stories from decades ago where there were.
Decades ago? Centuries ago?
No, that one gentleman was in the 1950s.
He died in the 1950s, but he homesteaded it in the 1800s.
Well, either way, people at one point tried to make it work. But now that it's nationally owned, it's not a thing. So we get to Chokoloskee, and this is a very tight-fitting RV / mobile home park community.
It's not a mobile home park. It's more, I guess it's mobile home. It's RV park. It's
although some of them are permanent, and they all, most of them have screened in enclosures around them and so forth.
The exact name of the place is the Chokoloskee Island Resort.
And it has, this is our second time having been there. We went in February of 2022, or March rather, of 2022, and had a good experience. And knowing that that's as far south as you can go, that's where you have to plan from.
On the west coast of Florida.
Right. So we had a good strategy this time. We had in advance secured, after many no's, a charter, if you will, with the private captain that had a vessel perfect for the Everglades. So before we talk about Captain Bruce at length, when we arrived, and I had mentioned about the wind, it was
intense. It was ridiculous. It was like we were in a tropical storm.
Oh, most certainly.
And it was high tide, so like
while we were driving,
when we got there, when we were there 2 years ago, they had a functional dock that we launched and a boat launch, which everybody was still using the boat launch, so that was still functional. But we launched our boat, and we stored it in the dock for the weekend, and, in their little marina area. And when we got there this last time, that was demolished from Ian, Hurricane Ian, which happened last year, 2023. And the winds were so strong that their little fish cleaning area, thank God nobody was under it, because as soon as we got there, it took out one of the columns and the whole thing toppled over. And it was probably...
before our very eyes, as we were...
30 feet long by 12 feet wide. You know, nice little overhang. People used to like to fish there.
And clean their fish there.
In the nighttime and clean their fish there. And it just toppled over at like 3 in the afternoon when we got there.
Ugh.
And the waves, it was really high tide, so the waves were crashing over
pummeling
everything.
It, yeah.
And they were making a joke. I was like, so I'm obviously not putting our boat in the water. And then the guy behind the counter, not Chris, but the other guy was like, what are you talking about? It's the perfect time to put your boat in the water during high tide. And he was just making a joke because it was so windy and there was just white caps and waves everywhere.
It was very interesting. And where they put transient folks like us that are just visiting for a short period of time, we're like in this front row closest to the water and the boat ramp. So you are getting a seat directly to the show.
Best campsites to be in on a perfect day when the sun is setting and everything. Worse campsites to have when it's that windy.
Yeah. So we didn't get to, you know, sit outside and create our campsite on that first night.
We tried.
Yet they have a really nicely laid out
clubhouse. They have really good common areas.
And two exterior.
Amenities, for sure.
Yeah, two exterior areas. One that's more like a tiki bar set up, and then the other that is more lounge, and you can grill in that spot and has the deck attached to it. Yet the clubhouse.
Where the campfire is.
Yeah, with there, you can do like a communal campfire, which we did. Met lots of friends, new friends.
Three nights in a row.
Two nights.
Two nights in a row.
We didn't do it that first windy night.
Oh, right. Yeah.
We had utilized their clubhouse. And the clubhouse is a cool setup because lots of people stay there for the whole season. Some stay for the year round. In the clubhouse, though, are all sorts of things that you are free to use,
pool table,
clean, and then put back, whether it's dishes or games or take advantage of these big pool tables.
They got
ping
a full
pong.
Kitchen. You can use the refrigerator there if you need to. They just
oven.
Ask you to mark your own food. Full kitchen, just like you were in your home. Pool table, TV, ping pong table.
Little exercise bike, bathroom.
What's the other thing?
Air hockey,
bathroom. Yeah.
So that night, we discovered that our son is a really good ping pong player.
Yeah, I was just buzzed that night.
Whatever.
I took him the next day, 3 games in a row. I mean, come on.
Well, he beat mom fair and square. And we made the country style ribs that night, didn't we?
First night, yes.
Yeah.
With some applewood. Smoked applewood. They were really good.
Mm-hmm. So doing the smoker scenario in that particular space, we were semi-shielded from the wind for that to do its job. But it was fabulous to be able to use their big oven because I brought these like frozen carrots and sweet potato. And our new camper has a microwave. So I was like, oh, these are steamable. Well, they were not.
We haven't even told them that we got a new camper yet.
I was delighted.
They don't even know we got a new camper yet.
Yeah, we did that, didn't we?
No, we never did the Georgia one.
Oh.
To go buy it? No, we didn't.
Hmm.
We have a new camper.
We're also in the process of selling our existing Palomino.
If anybody's interested.
Yeah. In which we would have kept the Palomino forever. Remember, the truck campers don't get any mileage. With proper maintenance, they're going to last forever.
Right.
You know, there's no mechanical aspects to it, really. But Charlie, our son, is just too darn big. Like, even cockeyed, which is the way we've been getting by most times when he's, you know, we're just there to sleep.
She means diagonal.
Yeah, diagonal.
If anybody doesn't know what cockeyed means.
Well, the poor guy, he was so, but we couldn't get by with it anymore. He actually, we took pictures during this trip, and he beat Dad. He's taller than Dad now.
He is. He's taller than me.
So we got this new camper so that this final year of our river roaming adventures, as we're in the home stretch, is comfortable and enjoyable for everyone. And it's even better for us, too, just knowing that we're going to want to go more, and it just gives us a little bit more space and what have you. So anyways, it works. It was worth the investment because we want Charlie to be able to
be
still hang out and love
and
being
be
with us.
While he's with us.
So use that oven, met some people coming in and out, really just a long day, right? Driving, what have you, lots of wind. So it was wonderful to be able to get a good night's sleep knowing about the tides. Actually, we have a trip for next month, and they mandated an Everglades course. So Michael just took and passed the course. So he really knew even more about the tides. And the tides there at this time of year really encourage...
Any time of year, really.
Yeah, encourage boaters that you need to get out on the water early.
Well, in a normal area of Florida, tides happen every 12 hours. These tides happen every 6, and they're unforgiving.
Most certainly. Lots of trial and error. All the more reason why Michael felt very good about the fact that we were going to be hiring a captain in their specialized vessel, because we had to go the furthest jaunt. So in 20...
Was not happening in our little bass buggy.
No. In 2022, we did the Turner Lopez New River route, which is close to Chokoloskee, and even that was pretty sketchy often in that several hour expedition. So on day one, we still trailered our boat because we were going to be left to our own devices for our first full day out on the water.
So we went up into Everglades City to the Gun and Rod Club and used their boat launch, which was still sketchy all on its own. A little skinny. We still
And the first time using our new camper in the bed of the truck doing it.
I mean, it all worked out great. It was a very steep boat launch, but everything worked out great. And we were able to enjoy the Barron River from tip to shaft, or however you want to say it. Tip to the Gulf. We went all the way out the channel markers, all the way out to the Gulf, and we enjoyed the Barron River all the way up until it just kind of loses itself in the Everglades.
Right.
It was pretty cool.
Really cool. And there was this Jack's Airboats, I think it was. And so there was airboats all around us in certain spots of the river as we were going. And they were quiet.
But no, they weren't that quiet. But they were tour airboats. So there were like 10 to 12 people on an airboat at a time. So there were big airboats.
Yes, most certainly. And you could tell that they weren't too familiar with seeing a pontoon going down there.
And out towards the Gulf, they had the big Everglades tour boats. So they were like giant tritune boats with two 200 Yamahas on the back of it. And these guys, you know the waters very well. They were outside of the channel and just taking like 30 to 40 people on a boat all at once, you know.
And going kind of fast.
And it was just us with our American flag popped out, tooling a little bit, not going very fast, just enjoying the Everglades ourselves. And then you got like 40 people on a boat with a tour guide in their ear. And all the tour guides, even the airboat guys, were like, that's it right there. You guys got it figured out. And you could see them talking to the people in the little headset and stuff. And like, yeah, we got it figured out. This is good.
Slow and steady. Because as you ventured just south of the commercial district, which was full of boats that had been retrofitted to be stone crab boats, big business there in the Everglades.
Those weren't retrofitted. You just buy a fishing boat, and that's how they are. Yeah, just it's a crab boat. They sell them just like that.
Okay, well, the one looked... When you check out our video on Facebook, you'll see the one I'm talking about. Yeah.
They're crab boats.
Yeah. Well, anyhow. So we went towards the Gulf, and you enter. There's signs that say that you've entered the national park. that you can't just, you know, moor up wherever you wish. And then there were also spots that had said that you couldn't
use a motor. They're pulling trolling zones.
Which was interesting to see such signage. But it was really beautiful, and we lucked out. It was a gorgeous day. So that was River 97, right?
That was the Barron River?
The Barron River.
Let's check our stuff here. That was the Barron River number 97.
97.
So that was the only time we actually used the River Roamer.
Yep. And I had thought that we were going to be able to get to the Fakahatchee. And unfortunately, we were not, which means that we have a bonus Everglades trip coming up in a few weeks. Regardless, we made it back. We made it back to the campsite. And that day, it was so beautiful that we knew we were going to make a communal fire and, you know, prep dinner and just really, like, be able to be outside. It wasn't the high winds, and it was real casual. And folks were eager to get out and about because everybody was kept in the day before with that extreme weather. And I had called the captain to confirm everything for Saturday, the day after, the following day after. And I said, I feel like he answered right away. And I said, I'm so glad that you answered, Captain Bruce. I was afraid you might be out on the water, knowing full well that nobody was out on the water. And he's like, so you're here? Yes, sir. Yeah. It's a little intense. So that second day was the day we did the Philly cheesesteaks. And and the guys, there were these gentlemen that one stayed, I think, more permanently, and he had friends in town. And we had put our portable camp stove on the grill because it fit perfectly. This way there would be more room for people to utilize tables. And we were playing some Yahtzee. We played Face 10 after, yeah. And, you know, wanted to use up a lot of space on our table. And we made a delicious dinner. These guys come up and they're like, hey, can we use your grill? And thinking that we've been cooking on the grill the whole time, they just brought just a bag of meat. And we're like, oh, no, we were actually just using our stovetop on this grill. This isn't a hot grill.
They thought we had hot coals.
The guy looked so disappointed. He had to walk all the way. He's like, well, I guess it's going to be a while before we eat dinner.
But then they went and got the coals, and I loaned them some lighter fluid and all that good stuff. So it worked out.
It did.
He walked up with like a pack of bacon because they were having burgers that night. And they wanted to cook the bacon first, and they wanted to throw it on the grill. I was like, sorry, man, I don't have hot coals. I just have my camp stove on here instead of putting it on the table. Sorry. Cast iron pan, you know, make some Philly cheesesteaks.
His, like, grown man, like, you've never seen a grown man look so sad. Like, oh, man, I'm sorry. But we made a fire that night, and then that's when we met Steve.
Yeah.
Or no, that was the first night.
That
was Friday night. Yeah, Friday night we met an interesting lad named Steve.
The roofing contractor.
Mm-hmm. Very. He lived across the way and had a golf cart and was cruising around with his friend, who she was pretty amazing, worked in road construction. And Diane was very knowledgeable, and she was more of a full-time resident, but her job takes her to all these different parts. So the flexibility that the Everglades Chocolosky gives her was just perfect. And they were really, really nice, and we got to get a golf cart tour that first night, so that was kind of cool. And then on the second night, we met Boone, no E.
Like the Boondocks.
Yeah, that's how we got the nickname. And he is a year-round Chocolosky resident, full of good information.
And moonshine.
And Jamaican moonshine. And then we met some of the, our neighbor directly next to us, he and his wife.
Michael and Karen.
Elaine.
Elaine?
We're from Vermont. And this was their second time.
Oh, no, that wasn't Michael. Michael was the guy.
It was Elaine
and Jeff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jeff and Elaine. Yeah.
So nice. But he said right away when we met them, the dog looks so cute. And he looks like he wants to be petted, but do not pet him. He's not that nice.
It was a little mixed terrier, pit bull, mixed dog.
So we took heed, and it worked out well because it was a beautiful dog. You could just look at him from afar.
Well, a lot of people like to do that. Oh, my God, look at your dog. Bah, 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 bah. I'm never one of those people.
Right.
You got your dog. I got my dog, whether I have our dog or not.
Which we didn't bring Seeger on this trip.
I'm not like over like, oh, my God, look at your dog. It's so cute.
Yeah, really? That's true.
Leave the dogs alone.
But we made a great fire, and it took maybe 10 minutes before every seat was full around
that
fire.
Unless it was those two little labradoodles that they brought over that first night. Or maybe it was the second night. And those labradoodles were laying around us and stuff. And those dogs wanted to be petted.
Oh, correct.
Because they walked up to you and like, hey, what's up?
Mm-hmm.
Pet me, please.
Correct, correct. That was Ron and Debbie.
Yeah, so, I mean, their dogs wanted to be pet. They were good dogs.
Yeah. So we got to meet people, and we probably stayed up a little later than we should have, knowing that we were to meet Kat and Bruce at 7 a.m.
It all worked out.
But it did, in fact, work out. We were prepared. I prepped the sandwiches that night while Michael was working on the fillies and
Speaking
such.
Speaking of dogs, that was our dog growling a little bit there. Yeah. He thinks he's a protector dog, but he's really just a sissy.
Oh, he can be tough.
So we met Captain Bruce.
Yep, bright and early. And he just lived like
a hop, skip, and a jump away.
So the he was next, right on time.
Next little channel over. Next little channel over where they sold gas and everything. His house was right there. He took us there at the end of what we're about to explain to you.
Yeah.
So it took us, which I was totally right on us not going in our boat to the Harney River, which was river number 98. Because it took us an hour and 15 minutes in Bruce's boat, Captain Bruce's boat, at 30 miles an hour. Our boat never reaches 30 miles an hour with just one person in it. Mm-hmm. So an hour and 15 minutes, and he just knew everywhere to go. He's
been there for 35 years.
You could just tell 15 minutes in the water with this guy that you're going to.
It was worth every penny.
Absolutely it was. He just knew the waterways. And he had it all marked out in his little GPS and the ways he was going and got us in and out of all these rivers. Anyway, honey, go ahead.
And the boat, you know, when we first loaded up, everything's built in. It's a very low, shallow profiled boat. He had to bring one of those portable boat chairs for our son to be able to sit in up front. And it was chilly that morning. I wish I would have prepared us just slightly more for that.
I knew it was going to be chilly, but it just made it that much better once the sun came out.
Tis true.
It wasn't like cold shivering.
I was shivering the whole time.
Yeah, she had to put towels and blankets around her. But, it wasn't. It was.
I was wearing a long sleeve shirt.
And we were rolling out.
At 30 miles an hour, it's a big difference.
As the sun was coming up.
Oh, it was so beautiful.
It was so beautiful. Yeah, it was awesome.
And you would see, because he was taking us down the wilderness waterway, that some people take kayaks and such, and they camp out in these.
So, let's not digress. So, we're going.
Well, we passed
we're headed towards
Key.
Number 98, the Harney River.
Which was the furthest south.
Right. So, we went into the Harney River a little bit.
Which he said is always chock full of tarpon.
Right, but where he said where he usually goes tarpon fishing is the Sandflea, where he was going to take the old men the next week.
Right, but he also said that he goes down to the Harney, so he knew the route really well.
So after the Harney, we went through the Harney a little bit. Boom, just tooled up there a little bit once we got in there. After going 30 miles an hour for an hour and 15 minutes, it was really nice to just like motor down a little bit, like, oh. Okay,
we all popped a little slider.
Maybe it's not that cold. We ate breakfast, basically. Because now it's like 8:15. We had breakfast. Granted, we all had a cup of coffee and were able to do our morning constitutions and stuff before we got on the boat. But then we had breakfast and popped a little slider. And then after the Harney, we went back out into the bay and circled around the ways he's going. Because, like, the tides are crazy there and there's so many sandbars. But yes, he was just able to, like, motor on. And where I would have been going, like, 3 miles an hour, he was still going like 20, 25 miles an hour because he's got this all on his GPS. So then after the Harney, we circle into the
Broad River, I think.
It was the Broad River. And
I'm sitting alongside, so like the seat next to Captain Bruce, which his wheel was like down and flat. It wasn't upright. And so it was interesting the way he would have to drive, especially if we were leaning into big turns fast. So I felt very cozy because I'm smack dab in the middle, right? I have my husband on one side, Captain Bruce on the other. And you're taking these bends and you got to lean in. Everyone's got to lean to the right. Everyone's got to lean to the left. And I'm looking all around. Once we come down with this turn, I'm like, is it just me or is this a really wide river? And in my brain, I was just thinking it was going to be smaller and more narrow in the Everglades.
What'd Captain Bruce say?
And he's like, well, that's probably why they named it the Broad River. I was like, really? Well, you don't say. I learned that everything in the Everglades was named aptly so.
Well, they're all pretty
for the most part. Yeah, they were all pretty wide, all things considered. Now, these furthest ones down weren't the same closeness as the others with the Chickies.
Off of the Broad River, he took us to a bonus river that we didn't know we were going to have.
Right, so Broad River was 99.
Right, and then he took us into the Wood River, and he told us where the Nightmare was.
Which is a very bad place. Don't go there.
I mean, it just looked like a nightmare. Like, if we headed that way, and he took us to, like, the mouth of it, and it was just like the mangroves were all grown over and stuff, and so that was the Wood River we went down.
Which was the bonus river for number 100, friends.
And then he always said that once we got out of the Broad River, he said going down the Rogers River is very tricky. And so, like, as we're coming out of the Broad River, he motors up. And he's going fast and he's going, like, zigzagging around areas and stuff. And these are all sandbars. He's zigging around and zagging around. And then he comes up, circles around and kind of almost does like a 360 and then enters another river. And I look at Captain Bruce. I'm like, this must be the Rogers River. He's like, how'd you know? I said, because you said it was going to be tricky to get in here. And you just did a bunch of tricks.
It was incredible.
Zigzagging around and just, he knew exactly how to get in there. I mean, like, we probably would have shored up 5 times just to get over there in our pontoon boat. And he just knew exactly what he was doing. So it was amazing.
And in order, because we weren't going to be staying on the Rogers that long. It's okay. It's Charlie. Quiet. Alrighty. So we did so many rivers back to back with Captain Bruce that I memorized the 101 river because it was the Rogers River, and that is the human dad in 101 Dalmatians. Roger is the dad of Pongo. And that was how I remembered it. And we
and
just
now,
fact-checked,
and
it's
now, if you were wondering our age, folks, you know that in Anna's childhood that the 101 Dalmatians was very important.
Well, and for a while in my life, I owned Dalmatians. In fact, I got to help. I was in a similar scenario as 101 Dalmatians because my female dog gave birth on the stormy night. It was crazy. Anyway,
to 100 Dalmatian puppies?
No, it wasn't 100. Oh. But the dad Dalmatian was brown spotted. And so when the dogs came out with all the puppies came out with no spots, folks. So I really thought I had done something wrong. And then weeks later, it was the delightful mix of brown spotted and black spotted. Okay, and then from the Rogers River, we did Lossman's.
Well, I mean, if you want to give a little back ways. Why this sounds a little different, because we've had to stop and start recording again twice over this podcast. Our son came home, our dog started barking. So if this podcast sounds a little out of place, it's because we've had to start and stop two times. So the next river after the Rogers and your 101 Dalmatians.
Yeah.
Was the
I'm pretty sure it was the Lossman's, because that's where we got to go fishing.
Well, on your thing here, it was the Rogers, the Wood River, the Rogers River, and then the Broad River, and then the Chatham River, and then the Houston River, and your... So, folks, she sent me a bunch of pictures of rivers in a row, and she never sent the Lossman's River in these pictures, which is what we were going by on here. But after the Wood River and the Rogers River was the Lossman's River. And this was the spot, because we kind of rented Captain Bruce to hit all of these rivers to knock them off of our bucket
list. But
she
loved our family's challenge, by the way.
Right, like no other captain on the island wanted to do this. And this guy like was really like, yes, this sounds amazing. I would love to take y'all out on this adventure. And but of course we wanted to fish, because that's what he does. He goes out and he puts people on fish. So he got us into the Lossman's River next, which was river number
102,
I guess. And he put us on this little coral little reef, and we were just slaying the trout. I mean, we all limited out. Anna didn't fish, but we could still get her limit. So Charlie and I caught like 16 fish in 45 minutes. It was amazing.
Wonderful.
It was great. There was no live bait. It was just casting and reeling, and we just ran the bottom of this little oyster reef, and the trout were just biting, and they were biting, and it was awesome. And we caught a lot of fish, and so he measured them all for us, as a captain should when, you know, you charter a boat. And we had like 16 in there. He kept the 9 largest ones, and, you know, a trout, you're allowed 3 per person on a boat here in Florida, and they have to be 15 inches or bigger. And we ended up with 9 at the end, the 9 of the biggest fish we caught. And shoot, we're still eating trout from last week. And
I just made a fish dip.
It was really great. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Captain Bruce knows his stuff for sure. So after Lossman's River, we went to...
Well, at that point, all of the dudes already had the opportunity to go potty off of the side of the boat. Because of the profile of this boat, there's no ladder on the boat, Mom did not have the same luxury. So I was looking forward to going through the closer route of the water, the wilderness waterways, because it was full of chickies. And the chickies are these like campsites that also offer up a platform that have a port-a-john type of scenario that is maintained through the park service and
through the National Park Service.
Yeah. And so I got, so Captain Bruce went shroom 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 to take me to the first
shroom,
chickie.
Shroom, 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 shroom.
Yeah. Because he knew I had to go potty, and then the chickie was missing. So he's like, oh,
well, no,
and
the
then he flipped around.
The chickie was there, but the bathroom,
the
port-a-john on the chickie was missing. So he literally like just went, I heard him mumble to himself, God dang, bathroom's missing. So he like immediately did a 360, and we were like sideways in the God dang boat. Like, I mean, I was touching the water. And he goes backwards, and I'm like, oh, he must be going to find another chickie that actually has a porta potty on it. And he did. And it was, boom, Anna got a pee, Charlie got a pee.
And there are people camping there.
But a lot of these chickies, I don't know how far you want to get into this, but some of these chickies, I guess most of them are campsites that have been built by the Forest Service. But some of them were actually homesteads from the early 1800s. That a special kind of human being back in the 1830s homesteaded. And if you know bugs, you think you know bugs, you don't know bugs until you're in the Everglades. Because they'll get you.
Yeah, pretty intense.
And
oh, but we forgot to mention, I believe it was on the, not the Broad, I think it was on, where we saw the crocodile and her baby.
That was just before the Rogers.
Just before the Rogers. That was incredible, folks.
A crocodile. So we've seen a saltwater crocodile in the wild. And so in Florida, in the Everglades, little fun fact, which we probably should have done at the end, but we'll find another little fun fact. In Florida, in the Everglades, it's the only place in the world where there'll be freshwater alligators and saltwater crocodiles living in the same habitat, which is pretty amazing.
Interesting.
And we got to see, I mean, I've seen saltwater crocodiles in, you know, in zoos and stuff, but never in the wild, which was pretty exciting.
Yeah, that was a highlight for sure. So,
Charlie must be taking another shot.
We got the first homestead that we got to visit, though we didn't have to stop. So he just told us a little story about it via the water, that literally this gentleman lived there until he had to go into Everglades City because he was so old and he needed additional care.
Which reminded us of Trapper
Nelson.
It was
a little picnic area, yeah.
So he homesteaded that. That's what you said in the 1950s.
Yeah.
And when he actually went back into Everglades City at the end of his days, he was 90, Captain Bruce said. So, and that was in 1950. And he homesteaded that place in his 30s. So that was like,
well, when the park recreation took it over, they told him that he had to go, and he met them at the end with a shotgun and said, I'm not leaving.
I know.
And he made it a few more years.
He said, the only way I'm leaving here is in a box. And they looked at him and said, we'll let you stay. This is when national parks were becoming a thing, like during Roosevelt, right? During Roosevelt's reign as president, because mm-hmm. that's when he was making all the national parks and stuff. So, but you got to think that he homesteaded that place in the, you know, 1880s. 1880s, 1890s. He would have been, yeah. So.
Anyway, so we meandered some more, and that took us to the, which next is the next river? So after Lossman's
was the Chatham.
For 103.
Because the Lossman's.
Oh, you had to cut through these big bays. They were huge.
Right. Big bays and little creeks. One creek was called Plate Creek, was the first one.
Because somebody dropped a plate in it.
Because one of the old homesteaders back in the 1800s was washing a plate. And he dropped his plate in there and he says, I dubbed this Plate Creek. Which was kind of silly, but
cheesy
at the same time, and it stuck for, you know, hundreds of years. So, and then the next one was Gator Creek, right?
Yep.
And then you go through a big old bay, and then you get to this little creek where you gotta, you know, it's a no wake zone, slow zone. And then the Lossman's River took us around the big bays. We got to see the old homesteads, Watson's Place.
No, Watson's Place was off of Chatham.
Yeah, but through there.
And we learned that this, oh, maybe that'll be our fun fact
so
about
wait,
Watson.
Leading from Lossman's River was into the Chatham, through all of that. So once we got into the Chatham, we got to see Watson's Place. But before that was Devon's Place. Was it Devon?
I can't recall.
That was the old man you were just talking
correct.
About, right? Mm-hmm. So we've seen that one first and then Watson's.
That is correct.
Boom. And then from?
So Chatham was 103, and we actually got off and walked around that homestead a little bit. There was like the whole footprint still. I guess this gentleman owned sugarcane fields there, even though he had been an outlaw and hung out with like Jesse the Kid and stuff.
They called him a serial killer.
Yeah.
There's a book about it. It's called The Murder of Mr. Watson.
And then beyond there, we ended at the Huston River after crossing through the Huston Bay for 104. And right.
But the Lostmans leaded into the Chatham. And then we had to go back out into the Gulf to get into the Houston.
Huston.
Yeah, they call it Houston.
And then we took the back way and ended, and it kicked us out the Lopez. But we had already been on the Lopez.
Right. And then the Lopez back out into...
And then you saw civilization as soon as you popped out of the Lopez. And the home style is different down there in the Everglades too, right? Just like their boats are low profile and shallow, the homes are high and low at the same time. You know, it's real interesting. But Captain Bruce took us right back in, and
we could have not done that without shout out to Captain Bruce.
No free lunch charters.
What's his last name?
Hitchcock.
Like Alfred, or.
No free lunch charters.
No free lunch charters. Bruce Hitchcock. Great guy. Would use him again and again.
And so we got back to his place and we got off the boat and finished our sandwiches and lunch. There really wasn't a time to eat lunch per se, because there was a lot to do and we had to work within the constraints of the tides. So we were out for about 7 hours and he... At his station that was fully intact, his fish cleaning station at his place, was a true professional and just filleted that trout like it was no big thing.
He told us to get off the boat, have a cold beer, eat your sandwiches. I'm going to fillet all your fish. I was like, I appreciate that a bunch. And sent us home with a giant bag of trout.
Mm-hmm. Which we didn't bother cooking at the campsite. We were doing an easy, our signature Cocoa hot dogs, which is usually our first night. That's what we were doing. So we put it in the freezer, and we were able to enjoy it this week. And it's just, what a great trip. I mean, 104 rivers accomplished. Super excited about that.
Hit over 100.
Yeah. And then we'll be doubling back in May to and knock April. Out the Backahatchee and the discover that there's Ferguson. Anyways, folks, it was totally worth it. And may I say that there's these patches. I'm going to put a link to it on our Facebook that you stick behind your ear if you experience any sort of motion sickness. And both my son and I suffer from this.
They're only for sissies.
It works fabulously. And you get like 40 for 10 bucks. So I'm going to put that link in case anyone is fearful of going out into big water. I know I was a little anxiety feeling when I knew we were going out with Captain Bruce into the big water, but
it's the placebo effect.
It really works. So happy river roaming to everyone, and wow, the Everglades is pretty something special. You make a fire, you'll meet lots of folks.
Absolutely, which we did several nights. It was amazing. Catch you on the next one, river roamers.
All right, fun fact time. We asked Captain Bruce how many people he thought lived on the island, and what did he say?
Well, he said that residence-wise, there were 350 between Chokoloskee Island and Everglades City.
Which is not a whole lot of people.
Right.
Of course, we did not realize that it's roughly 150 acres, and it's actually a large shell mound. It's like 20 feet high.
That's above sea level. That's higher than where we live in Florida.
And that was thanks to the work of the Colusa Indians who had inhabited it so long ago. But yeah, just a few hundred people in this whole neck of the woods, very different lifestyle. We noticed that the one school was all the way from K through high school.
K through 8, and that was in Everglades City across, not on the island, but on the mainland.
Right.
And that's where the kids in Chokoloskee go to school as well.
Yep.
K, kindergarten through 12th grade.
Yep.
Yeah. And how many acres is the island?
150 acres.
Not very big, folks.
Not not very big at all, but what an experience.
Yes.
Until next time.